Now we're at the third part of our preparation. I've saved the psalm for this part. I usually do it in part two because I want to give it a little more attention. And then we'll look at Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in which he recalls all this wandering in the desert and God's mercy. Now, this is Psalm 103, and they give us most of the verses, but I have it all open in case I want to fill in some that they don't give us. This is a psalm of David. That's all it says, Le David. And then it says, Baraki nafshi et Adonai, oh, bless the Lord, my soul. All that is within me, my memory, my imagination, my innards, my emotion, all that is in within me, bless His holy name, Shem Kodesho. We have once again this notion of holiness. Again, Baraki nafshi, oh my soul, bless Adonai, Yahweh, you see? And do not forget all His benefits. This is one of the most beautiful psalms that we have. There it is. All His gifts, all His benefits. Okay. Now, what is the first benefit? Hasoleach. Releasing all of your sins and healing all of your ills, all of your wounds. Bless the Lord, my soul, for what has He done for me? You see, the first thing He has done is He is the one. It's a present participle, hasoleach. Salach means to forgive. And in the Bible, only God is ever the subject of that verb. So when Jesus tells that paralyzed man, my son, your sins are forgiven, they say, who can forgive God? Forgive sins but God. They know this tradition. Well, then who is Jesus? He says, I forgive you. Who is He then? See? So He's the one forgiving all your sins and healing all your illnesses. So, isn't that beautiful? Who redeems your life from the pit, huh? And now we have that other word, ha, goel, huh? You remember the goel? I've talked about that before. Somebody who's related, and if I get in trouble, they have to get me out of it. Well, God says, I'm related to you that way. And when Jesus comes from now on, He's a flesh relative. He's got to get me out of trouble. So He does. He dies on the cross for me. And so, the one redeeming from the pit, I don't know how they translate that. Fills your days with good things. Redeems you from the pit. Yes. And crowns you with mercy. Crowns. Gives you a crown. You know that God gives you a crown? My child. My son. My daughter. I crown you with love and mercy. Delivers you from the pit. See? Crowns you with chesed and rachum. How many times have we seen those words, right? Chesed. Enthusiastic fidelity to the covenant. The covenant on God's side is a promise. He's enthusiastically faithful to His promises. You see? And racham, He's compassionate. The popular etymology, and maybe the correct etymology for this word, comes from the word rachum, womb. He has these feelings for you as a mother does for the child who's come out of her womb. That's the way He has feelings for you, you see? And So your youth is renewed, huh? The Lord does righteous deeds, brings justice to all the oppressed. Huh? He does tzedakot. He does justice, righteousness. Meaning, you know, honoring the truth of the relationship. Okay. He has made known his ways to Moses, to the Israelites, his disease, his deeds. He has not dealt thus with as our sins are merit, nor requited us as our wrongs deserve. For as the heavens tower over the earth, so is his mercy towards all. Read this Psalm 103 over and over again until the truth of it starts to soak into the pores of your soul. Then you start to know God. And when you see this mercy on the part of God, then you weep. And that's the gift of tears. You see? We repent so we can get out of trouble. God wants us to repent because we trust Him and know He will forgive and will take us back. And so that's why we detest our sins, you see. I would encourage you to read that psalm maybe every day during Lent. By the end of Lent, you'd know it by heart. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and never forget all His benefits. And He goes on and on, you see. Okay. Now, we move to the second reading, which we put into this section rather than the other one. This is 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 6 and 10 to 12. It's chapter 10, but skipping some verses in the middle. Okay. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that our fathers, translated here, ancestors, so that the women don't feel left out, they were all under the cloud. That is, they were all rescued through the sea. All passed through the sea. And all of them were baptized into Moses. You see, that water rite joined them to Moses. And that's a prefiguration of the water rite that Jesus begins for us. We're identified with Jesus and with His death. And that's why we're free of sin. You see? Baptized in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. You see what He's doing? He's describing the Exodus in terms that the Christians can relate to. They drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. The tradition is that that rock that Moses hit, it rolled along and went with them. So it was always there to care for them. That rock was the Christ. No. Christ is manifested by the care He takes for His people in the desert. And yet, God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. One way or another, they grumbled, they moaned, they did all that, and so a lot of them died. Now these things happen as an example for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did, but do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. That's at the bottom of the Mount Horeb there, of Mount Sinai. Do you see what's being said? They are God's people. We are God's people. God has raised the intensity and the scope of His people. And now, it's not being born of a Jewish mother that makes you part of His people. It's being baptized in Christ. But, think of the kindness of God to His people. Now these things are written down, all the mistakes and the sins that the Jews committed, as examples for us, that we may not desire evil things as they did, do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up. That's at the golden calf. Well, you say, I would never become an idolater. No. Then why don't you turn off the television? You worship it. You're transfixed every night for hours, looking at this thing, the news, the latest, and then maybe even some off-color entertainment. That's your idol. Turn it off. In fact, throw it out. You see? And then, you did not let us not indulge in immorality as some of them did. That's in that other spot. And 23,000 of them fell in a single day. God didn't tolerate that. And then let us not test Christ. You remember this incident? This is the where they all came and wanted God to do something. Feed us right now, God. If you're God, you do blah, blah, blah. It doesn't say they tempted God. They said or put God to the Christ. Why? Because Christ was always with his people. The Logos was the one who was, he wasn't incarnate yet, but he was the one who spoke with Abraham, who guided the people in the desert, and so forth. That's why, let us not test Christ. They tested Christ, and we, now that we see his face, we know who he is, he's incarnate, we still test him. We still test him. And they suffered death by serpents. Do not grumble as some of them did and suffered death by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as an example. And they were written down as a warning to us upon whom the end of the ages has come. The ages of planning, of preparation are over. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. Don't get too cocky. You have no idea how weak you are, how easy it is for you to fall, and fall seriously. Therefore, be careful. And as we move into the gospel, we'll see that one of the primary ways that we're careful is to be sorry for sin. Be aware of sin and sorry, overwhelmed by forgiveness. Huh? Like the woman who wept at his feet, she came in knowing her sins, got a look at Jesus, knew she was forgiven, and just wept at his feet. Washed his feet with her ointment, dried them with her hair. And that's why Jesus said to Simon, his host, Simon, you didn't wash my feet as I came in. You should have done that. That's just a basic element of hospitality. Get the dust from the sandals off this guest's feet. You see, you didn't anoint me my feet. She's anointed my head. Why? Because where much is forgiven, there is great love. She knows forgiveness. So she weeps. You see? And so, whoever thinks he's standing secure, watch it. You're not that secure. And now we're going to go and look in this fourth part on the precious gift of repentance.